Then this evening at 7 o'clock, we have our carols by candlelight. We again would welcome you warmly to that service this evening. On Christmas Eve, we have a service led by one of our Bible study groups. It's at 11:30 on Christmas Eve. That's in the evening. And again, you'll be most welcome to that. And then we have the service on Christmas Day at 10:30. So we give you a warm welcome to all of those services. Just to say to you, in case you haven't noticed, Johnny is with us today. He's home from Cambodia for a few weeks over the Christmas period. So do take the opportunity, if you get it, to have a word with him. And it's good to see him here this morning. I think really that is all the announcements that there are for this morning. We have a theme for our service today, and we will be exploring that theme right throughout the service. And the theme is the unopened gift. But let's come together and worship God together as we stand to sing, "Joy Has Dawned Upon the Earth." And we talk together to this amazing God in prayer. We pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of the year when we celebrate the good news that God is Emmanuel. He is God with us and God for us. And we thank you that when you came, you didn't come with the sound of trumpets, but you came quietly, born of a virgin, born in a stable. You were of lowly birth. And as we gather together today to consider the wonder of your coming and its meaning for us, we pray that you would open our ears to what you have to say to us, and that you would open our hearts, that we would know the gift of Christmas, that we would experience for ourselves the love that you have shown to us and have for us in Jesus your Son, and that just as the shepherds came and the wise men came and bowed their knees before the child in the manger, so help us to come today bowing our knees, recognizing your greatness, and offering ourselves to you. So we commit this service to you, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds in a fresh way to the message of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time of the year, we think of gifts, and we think of the gift of a child. And when it comes to baptism, I suppose that's the focus of our attention, the gift of a child. It's such a wonderful gift. And even though we have learnt so many things about birth through technology, it's still a mystery. And it's still a wonder when a child is born into the world. And often when it comes to baptism, that's where the focus of our attention is, on the gift of the child. But actually, baptism speaks to us of something far more important than that. It moves our focus away from the child, and it places it on God. For in baptism, we are reminded that even before we knew anything about God, he knew us. Before we could ever have loved him, he loved us. Before we could ever have turned towards him, he had already turned towards us in the gift of his Son. And in baptism, what is offered to a child is the gift of God. God's love freely given, God's unmerited grace, not something that could ever be earned, but something that is freely offered. And we're going to unpack that gift a little bit later in the service. Of course, we need to realize baptism doesn't make a child a Christian. Baptism is the offer of the gift of that love. The child, when he or she grows up, has to unpack the gift for themselves and embrace Jesus. But also in baptism, we recognize the place of the home and the influence that the home has over all our lives. So much of what we bring into later life, we learn from our own homes. And in bringing their child for baptism, Emma and John are going to profess their faith in Jesus Christ. That in a sense, they have unpacked the gift. That they have embraced him as their Lord and Savior. And in bringing the child, their child, this precious gift that has been given to them, they want to offer themselves to God. That through their example and influence, their little one might grow up to know Jesus for himself. And this is a congregational moment because it's a congregation we receive this child into the life of this church. And we remember our responsibility to do all that we can to support our parents and to support our young people so that through the example of this congregation, they will come to embrace Jesus for themselves. And perhaps, just perhaps, you were baptized as a child. And I suppose the question I want to leave with you as we move on to the baptism is simply this. Have you unpacked or opened the gift for yourself? Okay, we're going to ask everybody to stand. Okay, and not to crawl this time. All right? No crawling's allowed at this point. All right, young man? All right, John. Okay, it is the duty of those who present their children for baptism to profess their faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to promise to bring them up in that faith, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and in the ways of the Church of God. And so, Emma and John, in presenting your child for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? And will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring up this child in the worship and teaching of the church so that your child may come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Okay. And as I said to you, this is not just an occasion for parents. This is an occasion for us as a congregation where we pledge ourselves to God to be the kind of family that will encourage our couples and encourage our children. And so there is a vow for the congregation. So I put this before you. Do you, who now in Christ's name receive this child into the fellowship of the church, promise by God's help so to order your congregational life and witness that he may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and influence? Okay, thank you. Okay, young fella. Go be Joseph. Hiya. Look at this. The collies and the red hair. Get their bad temper from their granddad. Okay, this is Kobe Joseph Houston. All right, Kobe Joseph, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide upon you both now and forevermore. Okay. Thank you. all may be seated. And so we want to pray for Emma and John and Finlay and Kobe, and not only them, but to pray for all the families, and all the young people of our congregation. So let's join together to pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of children. We know how much they enrich our lives and what a tremendous gift they are. And so we pray for Emma and John and Finlay and Kobe on this very special occasion. And we ask that your hand would be upon them. And we pray that you would help them to be true to the vows that they make, that seeking to live out their faith before their children, that these little boys would grow surrounded in the knowledge of your love and one day come to embrace Jesus for themselves. And what we pray for this family, we pray for all the families of our congregation, asking for your hand to be upon them, praying for our young children and young people, praying that they would grow strong in body and mind, but above all else, that they would grow strong in the knowledge and the love of Jesus. So we commit this family and all of the families of our congregation to you on this special day, in your name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to stand together and sing. This is a new song that some of you may not know. We have done it a couple of times here in the congregation. It's a lovely song, and it's Jesus, Joy of the Highest Heaven. Going to have a reading now from God's Word, from the Gospel of Luke. It's going to be read for us by Billy, and then following that reading, the boys and girls of the Lighthouse are going to do the Nativity for us.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen.
Many thousands of years ago, there was a man who had a very special job. His name was Isaiah. His name meant salvation of the Lord, or another way of saying it, God to the rescue. God had a very special job for him. Isaiah's job was to listen to God and tell the people what he heard. And God had a very special message for him to give to the people. He told Isaiah he was going to send a rescuer to mend his broken world because God loves his people with a never-stopping, never-giving-up, always-and-forever love. Thousands of years later, and everything was ready. The moment had come at last. God was coming to rescue his people, just as he had promised in the beginning. There was a young girl called Mary. She lived in a town called Nazareth. And she was engaged to be married to a man called Joseph. One day, God sent the angel Gabriel to meet her. Mary was afraid. But the angel said,
"Don't be afraid. God has a special plan for you."
The angel told her she was going to have a baby. Mary couldn't believe it, as she wasn't yet married to Joseph. The angel told her that the baby she would have would be called the Son of God.
"I'm God's servant. I will do whatever God says."
And sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. One night when Joseph was sleeping, God sent the angel of the Lord to him in a dream.
"Mary's baby is from the Holy Spirit. You are to call him Jesus, because he'll save the people from their sins."
When Mary was almost ready to have her baby, she and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem to register in a census. It was a long way, and when they reached the town, they must have been very tired. They looked for somewhere to stay, but every inn was full.
"Please help, my wife is going to have a baby."
The only place they could find was a stable.
"Here you are."
And there, in the stable, the baby who would change the world was born.
He is called Jesus.
Many thousands of years before, Isaiah had told the people that this baby would also be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, because God, the creator of the universe, had come to live with his people. Out in the fields nearby, some shepherds were watching their sheep. They were warming themselves by the fire when suddenly the sheep darted. Right in front of their eyes appeared an angel from God. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring good news to all the people. The Messiah has been born tonight. You will find him in a manger."
And then suddenly a whole host of angels appeared, praising God.
Glory to God in the highest.
Then, as quickly as the angels had appeared, they left. The shepherds jumped up.
"Let's go and see the baby.
Let's go to Bethlehem."
So they stamped out their fire and they ran into Bethlehem. And there they found the baby, just as the angel had told them. They had heard about the promised baby, and here he was, a light for the people walking in darkness. And they just couldn't keep this news to themselves, and everyone they told was amazed.
Singing in the heavens, I heard angels singing hallelujah. Told us boys, don't be afraid, I bring you good news today. Jesus has been born for you.
Thank you.
Sometime later, far off in the east, some wise men had seen a new star in the sky. They knew that this meant the rescuer, the king of the Jews, had been born.
Look at the star.
It's the one we've been waiting for.
He's here.
So they set out to find him. They packed up their camels with precious gifts and traveled for a long, long time, until at last they reached Jerusalem. Because where else would a new king be? So the wise men went to King Herod in the palace and told him about the star they had seen. They asked where the baby was so they could worship him. This news about the baby didn't make Herod very happy. In fact, he was very upset. He called together all the priests and teachers of the law. They told him what one of God's messengers, Micah, had written many years before, that the baby would be found in Bethlehem. So Herod called together the wise men and told them,
"He is in Bethlehem. Go and search with him carefully. Then come back to me and tell me where he is. I want to worship him too."
The wise men left the palace and traveled to Bethlehem. They saw the star in the sky, and it led them to the house where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were. They bowed down and gave him the precious gifts they had brought with them.
"Because you are the king, I bring you gold.
Because you are God, I bring you frankincense.
Because you are the rescuer, I bring you myrrh."
The great light Isaiah had told the people about had come. He had come to show the people walking in darkness the way back to God who had made them.
Well done, everyone. That was terrific. So thank you very much for that. And we're going to continue on the same theme as we stand together to sing a song that reminds us especially about the wise men going to see Jesus. It's Underneath the Shining Star. Let's stand together.
Much greater than
Now, the young people of the Rock are going to do a sketch for us entitled Missing Jesus.
Apologies, there's some messy shepherds there. Just can't get the staff these days. First of all, thank you for your patience while we're setting up here. We should also note that Jim was really sly this year and that he let the professional actors go first. So it takes a kind of shine off these guys, but there are a few amateur dramatics coming up here now as well. I just want to thank the older ones. Not easy to stand up at the front. We have them doing jazz hands and everything today. So the fact they're still here is actually pretty good, so thanks for that. So I want you to picture the scene. I want you to picture the scene that we're in the warehouse at Parcel Force or in the post office, right? We couldn't set it up like that because that would wreck the stable scene that we had earlier, which is just lovely. So I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about this. Get in the zone, right? The thing that you need to do if you're in Parcel Force, unless you are a professional delivery agent, is you need someone who has the experience, somebody who has the skills, somebody who has the years. So I'm going to hand you over now to our senior professional, the old man himself, Connor Tweedy.
So, you just want to be delivery professionals, do you?
Sorry.
Joe, that's okay. This one time since you're a novice. But we must uphold the code of delivery specialists everywhere and use serious caution. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. I'll remember that. Serious caution. Yep, got it.
Look, did you hear this? Hear this? This happens when inexperienced amateurs pack contents without the training you have received. This is a disgrace.
Serious caution, I've got it.
Look at that, son. Look at all those lines. It's only a few days before Christmas, the true test of delivery personnel everywhere. Now, young man, we're at the end of your training. This may be difficult to handle. It's only for the strong of heart. As a necessary part of your training, I have to introduce you to a domain called...
Dun, dun, dun.
The Lost Zone.
The Lost Zone?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Lost Zone. In this dark pit are the packages that have found no home. No resting place but this lifeless abyss of cardboard and brown paper. Packages whose contents will forever be trapped by aging packing tape.
Okay.
Over here. See this one? What does it say?
No such address.
See, you need to do as I say and not as I do. That's right. No such address. No such address. And this one, even more tragic. Right address. But no such person. Oh, we tried to deliver it back to the sender, but no.
So I guess Santa's address up was broken.
This is no laughing matter. Now these are truly sad. Prepare yourself, it's almost too dismal to stomach.
I think I can handle it.
These are the ones that haunt the dreams of faithful delivery experts everywhere. These we attempted to deliver, but were forced to leave only a lone slip of paper in its place.
Oh, that's what those were for.
Three times we tried. Three. Each time to no avail. To think this Christmas gift that was purchased and wrapped and sent with love and intention now sits unclaimed, unopened, unknown.
Nobody just rejects a package.
You have much to learn. Oh, sometimes we get the call. Oh, I'm coming for it. Sorry, I missed it. All empty words. Of course, we hold it, but for how long? How long must the gift wait for its intended owner? No, they get busy with Christmas parties and shopping, and then the new year rolls around and they forget. They claim to have no time. They're distracted. They never make it to the post office. They never know what they could have had. They never see how much the sender cared. They never receive the precious token of his or her affection.
That's actually pretty sad.
And then there are those who receive the notification, but they simply do not care. They decide that the package is not worth the trip to the office to get it. Without ever exploring their contents, they discount it, write it off. Oh, they see the notices, but they ignore them. They disregard these reminders that someone cares for them so much that they prepared a gift at Christmas especially for them. Oh, what they miss, because they don't even take a long look, or even a glance. Maybe it's just a worthless trinket, but maybe it's that Christmas gift that they've wished for years. But how will they ever know?
That seems really foolish.
Foolish doesn't even begin to describe it. And then there's the dreaded scenario that no good delivery specialist ever wants to admit.
What's that?
Sometimes the would-be recipient never even knows about their gift. The notification blows away, or worse, it's gone before it's ever even delivered. They never hear that someone has loved them with a gift at Christmas.
How awful. I mean, I never really thought about it, but it seems so easy. Someone offers or sends you a gift and you receive it. You take hold of it, open it, and you're overwhelmed with gratitude. Why would anyone ever choose to do otherwise?
I haven't a clue, but this room,
dun, dun, dun,
the lost zone, doesn't just hold unclaimed packages. It echoes with the grief of unrequited friendships and love. Yes, they were all rejected or neglected, never received, unredeemed forever in the lost zone.
You see, it's often said that Christmas is about giving. After all, God gave the greatest gift of all, time at Christmas. But just as the purpose of a Christmas gift is not fulfilled until it's been accepted by the person you give it to, so too, Christmas is also about receiving. Because God loved us so much, he gave us his own son. So the question is, are you too busy, just haven't got around to it? Are you ignoring the notices and choosing to never even look into God's gift? Even if you've never heard before, you're going to hear about it later on. And the question you're going to leave with is, will you receive this gift today? Thanks for listening.
Okay, thanks to the members of the Rock, and we're going to continue as we take up the offering. We're going to continue on the theme of our service and going to look at just a little video together. And I suppose the name of this video might be The Unopened Gift.
Bill and Estelle from number 7, they bought a present. This for me, who is this from? Just pass it on.
Ashtrays, let's go.
We do not smoke.
Underneath my
wrap, she could start.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Experience. Maybe you wouldn't like to admit to it, but you were given a gift at Christmas, you didn't particularly want it, or somebody came with a gift for you that you hadn't expected, and you thought, I need to give a gift to them, and you passed it on. And maybe that year, or the next year, or the year after, the gift came back to you from somebody else. Most of us wouldn't pass on a gift without opening it. We had a great discussion in our house about this, whether that would happen or not. But I think most of us wouldn't pass on a gift without opening it. But maybe we would if we thought we knew what was inside. And sometimes when we're given presents, don't we feel them? Don't we feel them so that we can try and guess what the present is? So I thought, I've got some of my presents here. So let's do some feeling and see if you can guess what it is. What do you think that is? Open it up and find out. Socks. Aren't they a brilliant present at Christmas? Wow, you think to yourself, well, necessary, but really, could they not do something better? Or here's something else I got at Christmas. I'll not throw this one in case I hurt somebody. What do you think that might be? Any guesses? No? Pass it on, see if anybody else has any guesses. No? Good man, open it up. People must think that I'm not very clean. So shower gel, it's helpful, but... Okay, what about this one? No, I can't throw this one because this one's heavy. Okay, feel it, shake it, maybe put it to your nose and see what you think it might be. Not Toblerone, good guess. Shame, shape, pass it on there to Matthew, see if he can guess. Come on, smell. Well, it's man's perfume, yes. Exactly, open it up, it's aftershave. And again, you think to yourself, well, aftershave, it's, well, in my case, it's no good to me, I don't use it. I always think natural is best. And then, of course, there's this one. And this one you kind of rattle. And if I rattle you, yeah, Julia, you're right, it's sweets. And actually, if you're very clever and you feel it, it's got a sort of lots of edges to it. Now roses, they're round, as are celebrations. But does anybody know what these ones are? Exactly, quality treats. You don't even need to open it to know what it is. And I'll tell you a story about a family, all girls, and it came to Christmas Day, and they had their presents, and they started to open them, and there was lots of clothes, and not just socks, but pretty dresses and things like that. And there was nice soapy stuff that girls like, you know, out of Body Shop and stuff like that. And there was smelly stuff as well. And the girls thought, this is great. And then their mum and dad said to them, and here's your big surprise. And it's for all of you. And they looked at it, and they thought, and they felt it, and they thought, quality treats. And they're very good girls, and they didn't want to seem ungrateful that this was the big surprise. But they were nearly in tears. And then their mum and dad said, would you not like a chocolate? Let's open it. And so they opened it. And they opened it up. And when they opened it up, they threw it in the air. There were quality treats going everywhere. And do you know why they threw it in the air? Come up here, young man, Peter, and tell me what they found at the top of the box. Read it out. What does it say?
Surprise, a holiday to Disney World.
Thank you, Peter. You're not getting a holiday to Disney World, Florida. Sorry to disappoint you. That's up to your mum and dad. But you see, they would never have guessed from the outside what the present was until they opened it up to discover that they had something really valuable on the inside. And you know, it's really like that for us at Christmas. We get so taken up with the trappings of Christmas, with all the decorations. I was in a street in Newton Arch the other night, and the street was fabulous. Nearly all the houses had lights out front and in the garden. It was brilliant, and trees and everything. And we think that's tremendous. And then we get taken up with the food and the parties. And of course, there's the gifts as well. And we think, gosh, this is what Christmas is all about. But the whole point of Christmas is not these things. It's not even the gifts. The whole point of Christmas is the gift. The baby born in Bethlehem. He is the reason for the season. And we might be thinking to ourselves, well, why do we need to unpack this gift? You know, there's nothing very special about it. You may not be aware of this, but it's reckoned that in Northern Ireland there's a baby born every 20 minutes. And so there's been three babies born since this service began. Or in the UK, a baby is supposed to be born every minute. So in the UK as a whole, while this service has been going on, 60 babies have been born. Or in the world, they reckon that in the last minute, 256 babies have been born. So why? Why should we take notice of this particular baby? And the reason is very simple. There is no one like him. This baby is God. God became a man. God became as tiny as Kobe, and even tinier, because Kobe's nearly a year. And the baby born in Bethlehem is God come among us. And why would he do it? Well, he did it to show us what God is like in a way that we could understand. Jesus could say to people, when you see me, you've seen my Father. God is beyond our understanding. Jesus makes him known to us. But the most important reason for his coming, humanity had wandered away from God. It had lost its way. It had rejected his rule. It had turned away from his commands. You all know that the stories of me out walking and getting lost are legion. And I know what it's like to be lost in a forest and actually not to know which way to turn to find your way home. And that's the way it is for us. We don't know which way to go to get to God. But Jesus came to bring us back to God. And that meant for him a cross. And Jesus says and tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus shows us the truth about God. Jesus gives us the life of God. And I suppose the question that we have been asking right through this service is, why would you neglect this gift? Why would you leave it unopened? And some people, you know, and maybe you're one of them, you're thinking, well, this is all very good, but it's not for me. I'm not interested in that sort of thing. I'm perfectly happy the way I am. But could I try to tease out the folly of such an outlook? Because what you're doing in saying that is reducing the message of Jesus to something less than it is. You're almost saying that the choice to embrace Jesus or to reject Jesus is two equal options. But it's not. Jesus is the truth. He teaches us the truth about God and about ourselves and about how we might experience the blessings of God. And when we reject Jesus, we reject God. And we embrace, actually, what is false. We live a life apart from God, a life we were never meant to live. We turn our backs on God and thus miss out on the very purpose of our existence. And in the process, we forfeit all that God would want to give us. There's a story about a wealthy man. He had only one son. The son died in early age, and the man was devastated. And throughout his life, I suppose as a substitute, he collected very expensive paintings. And when this man died, there was an auction, and the paintings went on sale, and many people from around the world came because they were interested in all the works of art that he'd gathered. And when the auction began, it began with a painting of his son by a lesser known artist. It was really of no value at all. And the only person that bid for it was the man's servant, who had a particular affection for the son. And when he had bought the painting, the auctioneer said, "The sale is now over." And he simply said this, "Whoever has the son gets all." And you see, it's only through the Son, through Jesus, that we can experience all that God has for us. Or maybe as they were teasing out for us in the sketch, you always mean to explore this gift, but you're too busy. There's too many other things calling for your attention, and you never seem to get round to it. You think to yourself, well, I'll do it someday. But it never, ever happens. And could I say to you, when you think like that, you are really showing that you place little value on the gift. But I want to say to you, this is a gift that is so important that we should never, ever neglect. Story of Queen Victoria, and she often used to walk around the grounds in Balmoral, and one day she was passing a cottage, and she was feeling quite thirsty, and she knocked on the door of the cottage, and she did it quite repeatedly. The lady who was inside heard, but she thought, I've got too much to do, I'm too busy, and so she didn't attend to the knocking. A neighbour across the way saw the Queen at her door. Later on in the evening, she approached this lady, and she was really quite jealous. She said, "I saw the Queen called with you today." And the lady said, "I didn't know anything about it. She knocked at your door." And the lady realized that she had let the opportunity pass. She had missed the chance of having tea with the Queen. And in all our busyness, have we missed the opportunity to unpack God's greatest gift to us? Christmas, it's about the baby born in Bethlehem. What will you do with the gift? Will you think to yourself, well, it's not for me? Not interested in it? Will you think to yourself, I'm too busy? We want to encourage you to open the gift. For in that gift is to be found all the blessings that God has for you. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service, for our children and our young people who have brought before us the story of Christmas and the importance of the gift that you offer to us in your Son. Open our hearts to that gift, we pray, in his name. Amen. Could I remind you of the tea and coffee in the hall afterwards? We're going to stand and sing our closing hymn, and it's "Glorious Light." See, the dawn of salvation, the angels declaring the good news. God has come among us. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.